Thank you. Just a perfect song to go with our week of seeking the reign of God. I came back to my seat after children's story and found that somebody had left me a little gift. A doggy bone. And I wasn't exactly sure what they were trying to tell me, but I figured that I would take it as an encouragement to say that even puppies get the scraps that fall from the Master's table. Amen? We're looking for God to share with us His mercy and pour it down upon us, and we thank Him for what He's desiring to do in us today. His name is actually Fred Rogers, and yes, that's Mr. Rogers. It's Mr. Rogers' neighborhood, and that's what I think of when I see him. I think of the little sweater and the little voice that kind of calms everything in the whole world. And I didn't know that really in his background, he was studying to be a pastor. He had a seminary background. And actually, he shares a story of his experience as he was taking theology. He went to a specific church. Actually, he was visiting friends, and on that vacation with his friends, they took him to a church. And having just taken homiletics, he took out his paper, and when the 80-year-old pastor got up, he began to mark down improper introduction, misapplication of text, poor illustration. Began to list some of the things, poor exegesis. Sermon finished, none too quickly, mind you. Good full page. Sang last hymn, sat down. He turned to share his analysis of the sermon with the friends who'd invited him to church. And when he turned and saw the profile, tears were streaming down her face. She was still looking forward. She whispered to him and she said, "I can't believe God told me the very words I needed to hear today through that pastor." Amazing. We can be sitting side by side and the Spirit moves based on our need, based on our openness to God, based on our readiness to receive the power of the Spirit, to be moved by God toward Him. God wants to reach out and minister to us if we will just open ourselves. Psalm 85, verse 6. If you didn't know the text before, I hope by the time you leave, we will have memorized it together. It's a simple text. I'd like to divide it like this. Will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you? You can say it with me. You can read it if you need to. Will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you? Do you want revival? Have you been searching for revival? I believe God has begun a revival here. I'm not just saying it. I'll explain to you as we go through why I believe God's done that and why I see it happening in our lives. How do I get revival? The first part, will you? You know, it gives me the first step that I need to take in revival, to let Him supply. Will you? The request goes up to say, will you? God, you're the actor in revival. I'm the recipient. Don't you look for a place of revival? People are looking for where they should go to get revival. They take pilgrimages to Mecca, Lourdes, Fatima, Thousand Oaks, Sacramento. They look to the mission field and thinking that maybe if they go there, they'll get the revival that they want to because somehow people have come back revived and they think maybe what I need is a stint in the mission field. Maybe if I go to Church X, that will get me revival. Maybe what I need is just to go there. Maybe that's what I need, a change in location. People go to India, the Holy Land, looking for the place of revival. How do I get revival? Where is the place? What's the sacrifice? people flogging themselves, thinking that maybe if they offer something to God, God will shower them with a blessing and pour it down upon them. Okay, so maybe we don't do it like this. Maybe we don't even say we'll give up fish on Fridays. Maybe instead what we say is, I'll stop drinking milk. I promise to exercise. I'll pay extra tithe. Okay, I'll just pay tithe. God, I'll make some sacrifice. If somehow you'll fill me with your Spirit, I'll make a sacrifice. I'll give up. And we look for something to give up to somehow gain God's favor. What do I sacrifice to gain revival? Or maybe I just need somebody to bring me revival. Maybe somebody who's spiritually charged and has the power, they can somehow reach out and touch me either with their words or with the reach, and I can gain revival from them. Maybe by being in their presence, osmosis, I can gain revival. Does revival come to me in a person? Where do I go to get revival? Isaiah 55, 6 through 8 says, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He's near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and He will have mercy on him. And to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor my ways your ways, says the Lord. God says, seek Him. Where's the place? The place for revival is down on our knees. Revival's always happened that way. J. Edwin Orr says, whenever God is ready to do something with His people, He always sets them to praying, to seeking Him. Where do we go for revival? It's as close as bending our knees. And the sacrifice, you know, there is a release of sin because God can't fill hands that are already full. There is a turning away from those things that occupy our time. Somebody told me today, you know what's going on in my life? It's just that I'm so busy keeping the pace that I just don't have time for God. And then they said, I think Satan is happy. Keeping me busy. If you haven't heard, we've talked about spending an hour a day with God. The sacrifice is not something that we offer God in appeasement. Instead, it's saying there's some things we're willing to put aside for the sake of coming to find God. And who's the person? 100 pianos playing a concert. Beautiful unity. The melody, fantastic. The background, the different parts. But because they tuned to the same tuning fork, they sought the same constant source. That's what brought them into unity. They didn't study unity, how am I going to sound like you? But they studied and put themselves in tune with the right source. Are you? Are you in tune? Have you gone to the place for revival on your knees? Have you made the sacrifice, putting other things aside to seek God? Have you found the person? Not a doctrine, not more theology, but the person of Christ there? God supplies the revival. He's the one who makes it take place. It doesn't come apart from Him. It's only the connection with God that allows it to happen in our lives. Will you, first step, let me allow God to supply the need that I have for revival? Our text says that our responsibility is to receive. Our responsibility is to open our arms to what God's pouring out. Psalm 85, verse 6. Let's say it together. Will you revive us? Will you not revive us? Revive. I guess the second step is I need to recognize that I need revived. That sometimes I go through the motions, but I'm really dead inside. It's not because I once lived and because I once had a relationship with God that it will continue that way. We look back sometimes and think that conversion took place back there when I was a child, and I remember that experience, and that's what we continue to talk about for the rest of our lives because that's the experience that we have had. We need a fresh connection with God, new rain to pour down upon us again, and God to touch us again, don't we? We need to be shook up. I saw this little globe, and that's somehow, it is once the snow fell, but we need to be shook up again so that it works one more time. Revive. I had heard the story a long time ago and was astonished that there was a follow-up. Chippy. Now, you've probably heard the story before as well. Chippy in Galveston, Texas, was the bird that was sucked into the vacuum cleaner as the owner was cleaning the cage. The phone rang. She turned. Instantly, the sound. And she quickly pulled the vacuum cleaner apart, ripped open the bag, and there was the dirty little bird. Taking it quickly and acting responsibly, she ran into the bathroom, turned on the water, and washed the bird down. Got out the hairdryer and hair-dried the bird. Reported that the bird was alive. They decided in the local newspaper to do a follow-up story. How is Chippy doing? The owner responded, "Chippy doesn't sing anymore. He just sits on his perch and looks kind of dazed." Sometimes the condition we find ourselves in isn't because of anything we've done. It's because of things that have happened on the outside to us. And we stand stunned, not alive, not moving, not acting. We stand frozen in time as if statues spiritually looking for, needing so desperately the song put back in our hearts. Who will confess to needing revival? Who will say, "Lord, I realize I'm dead. I'll ask it again." Who will confess to needing revival? Amen. See, I can leave the point. If we all agree that we need it, if we can see ourselves, we want revival so God's Word is more important to us than the rerun of Simpsons. We want revival because kindness is more than an air we put on for company while our family suffocates in cruelty. We want revival so we don't use summer as an excuse not only to vacation from the church, but to vacation from God. We want revival so we don't drag ourselves to church out of routine, but come out looking and longing to meet with God. We want revival so we stop exploiting people's weaknesses, tearing them down to build ourselves up, and instead come beside them in their weakness and support them to the kingdom. We want revival so that we have fresh insights that we ourselves have drawn daily from the Word of God. We want revival so we don't get tricked into being Satan's double agents here in the church. We want revival so we aren't whitewashing a life that holds dead men's bones. We want revival so that closeted sin won't eclipse the shining presence of God in our lives. We want revival so our lips will not speak words of condemnation, doubt, and bitterness, but instead words of praise, hope, and love. We want revival so that we don't settle for mediocrity in our jobs, our marriages, and our personal walk with Christ. We want revival because we as believers do not want to be at odds with our brothers and sisters, but we want reconciliation. We want revival so our singing will not be half-hearted and thoughtless, but the melody of joy springing up from our hearts will be full of gladness because of who God is. We want revival so we can practice all the truths we have in our heads in our real life. We want revival so the cancer of gossip and lying and contention can be removed with a strong dose of the Spirit, even if it takes a chemotherapy blast in our life of the Spirit to bring us to our knees and be ready for God to bring the revival. We want revival so we don't just sit quietly and tolerate evil. We want revival so we're as thrilled about giving money as making it. We want revival so we can release our spirit of resentment and lack of forgiveness. We want revival so we can see a desperate, struggling, confused teen and be more concerned about their heart than the clothes they're wearing, than their piercings, than their hair, or the music they're listening to. We want revival so that building God's kingdom becomes more important than building our own. We want revival that we can depend on the Holy Spirit's power. And finally, we want revival because we want to be participants more than spectators. We want revival because we're more interested in prayer meeting than potluck. We want revival because we want to fall in love all over again with Jesus Christ. We want revival because we're more concerned of what God thinks about us than of what anybody else thinks. We want revival. Will you not revive us? You cannot revive if you did not get vived to begin with. Now that's true, isn't it? If we're reviving, you have to be vived to begin with. Now, if you're looking Spanish, what's viva mean? Life, to live. I gave him a quiz right on the spot. He came through, I knew he would. Viva. Viva, to life. Relive. Yes. But the problem is that some of us never have been alive to begin with. Spiritually, we've never actually felt God's presence in our life. We've never truly been transformed. Some of us have been committed to a set of truths, but never been made alive by God's presence. Maybe for some of us, we should just be praying not for revival, but for conversion. And quite honestly, praise God if we do. That's good. We need revival. And maybe the way that happened is to relive that experience for some of us of the God first starting in our lives and working His work. Do you remember when you first fell in love with Christ? I remember looking back and thinking what it would be like to follow Him. I couldn't believe what I'd read about who He was. I sit in my parents' bedroom playing an electronic keyboard, and tears began to pour down my face as I recognized that God loved me even though He knew everything about me. I remember as a pastor being in a group that was praying for the Holy Spirit. We'd been praying in pastors' meetings for 4 days, and it began to pour outside and it began to pour inside. And pastors began to confess to their conference president things that they had done, issues in their lives, places they weren't right, and to brothers and sisters. And soon, there was a revival that broke out in that conference. We received from the conference president little raindrops that said, "Remember the rain." Gave it to us for Christmas. The pouring out of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes, maybe we just need to relive where God has visited us in the past and remember that it's true that we used to be in a stronger place than today, and that we need revival because of that. How do I know if I've been revived? It's not because of all the things and the gyrations that go on the outside. It's not because of some physical phenomenon. It's not because of speaking in tongues, ecstatic utterance. It's not because that somehow you now feel light and able to jump up and down. It's not because of some movement that God puts in you, jerkings or laughing, and the holy laughter movement that's spreading across our nation today. It's not because of those things. Romans 8:12 says, "For His Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children." You know, it's amazing that the story I see of the man who was a demoniac and transformed and changed was not that he all of a sudden started all those gyrations. That's what he was like before. And then what happened is, he was calm in his spirit, and there was a change in his countenance. He sat with a peace in his mind. And I think that is the power of the Holy Spirit, that God's Word testifies to us that God is alive in our hearts. His Spirit testifies to our spirit. 1 Thessalonians 1:5 says, our gospel came to you not simply with words, but with power, with the Holy Spirit, with deep conviction. You know that you've been revived when you have deep conviction about your sin and a desire to change it. Because that only comes from God. Borneo, 1973. There was a revival that had taken place and moved across. And they said, tell us, how do you know there's a revival? And they said, it's simple. There are oranges on the trees. And the reporter said, what do you mean? The children stripped the oranges from the trees before they would ever ripen. But as you look, there are oranges on the trees. Revival takes place and causes reform in our lives. It's changed. There's a result. The first step in revival, let Him supply. The second step, recognizing that we're dead. It says, with me, will you not revive us again and again and again? Because we need to receive it again and again and again. Revive us again. Revive to live again. So if you're reviving again, it says to live again, again. Redundancy. Maybe not. Because for most of us, we find that it doesn't last as long as we'd like. Isn't it true? How many of you have experienced revival before? How many of you never broke that revival? I'm sorry, maybe I didn't ask it right. How many of you continued in that same state of commitment to God all the way since then? You get again and again. Again and again is because sometimes we treat revival as if it's elusive and a mystical thing that comes virtually with no sense or no responsibility. We can do nothing about it. But the truth is that revival doesn't last because of issues. Why doesn't it last? Because we don't tend it or stoke it or fan its flames. If you want to take care of a fire and not let it go out, don't you have to take care of it? Supply it with its raw materials? Don't you? If there's a flame of the Spirit that's moving in our lives, we need to tend it. Take the time to focus on what we need to do to build it. Bible study, prayer, sharing, yielding, the four acceptable Christian works to stoke the fire. Why doesn't it last? Because we treat it as an object, a thing, rather than a relationship. Somehow we get to the place of revival like it was handed to us as a commodity, sent to us in the mail, express delivered from God, instead of recognizing that it is God's very presence in our life, that it is a relationship. Why doesn't it last? Because we want stirrings without change. We want to be warm and fuzzy without any transformation of life. A.W. Tozer says, have you not noticed how much praying for revival has been going on late and how little revival has resulted? I believe the problem is that we've been trying to substitute praying for obeying, and it simply will not work. To pray for revival while ignoring the plain precept laid down by Scripture is to waste a lot of words and get nothing for our trouble. Prayer will become efficient when we stop using it as a substitute for obedience. If we're praying for revival, we have to look at what God's going to do in our life. Why doesn't revival last? Because we're not willing to pay the price to keep it. We're not willing to continue to court God. We're not willing to continue to open ourselves to His transforming power. Help us to live again, Lord, and again and again, because we leak. We need You to keep filling us. And You understand that, Lord, even though we have the filling, we leak. It drips out through the sides. And we need that constant connection with God, don't we? I need God's ministry of redundancy like the ocean waves showering over me again and again His mercy. And I need to stay there and receive again and again God's power. Maybe there's a sense in which we need to every day be revived. We need to every day experience again the renewal of God bringing us back to life. Refreshing rains that will again touch our heart. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident in this, that He who has begun a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. I like the term carry it on. It sounds like a process to me. Doesn't it to you? We need revived. We need to live again and again and again because we need what God can supply, and on our own we're going to die. Help me. Will you not revive us again that Your people may rejoice in You? The first step, will You? God, we know that You supply. We have to look for Your supply. Secondly, revive us. We have to admit we're dead. We need You. If nothing else, we're laying comatose on the side, passed out. Maybe days like that little bird. But Lord, we need You to revive us. Again and again and again and again, because Lord, we leak. And four, that we can remember the goal. Did you see that? Your people may rejoice in You. Sometimes we miss the goal. We think the goal of revival is somehow self-centered. And we look to ourselves and we begin to measure ourselves, and there's a place for starting there. But we can't make that the end goal, because it's not. The goal is to get past ourselves to God. I must have missed saying that. It's 5 after 12. Our church runs to 12:15, in case you didn't know. I'll try it again. We need to get past self and get to God. Revival is that. Losing sight of me. Looking outside of ourselves to what God wants to do with us. Acts 1:8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You know that experience? Even in the early rain, you know what that experience was for? It wasn't just about them. It was about God using them. It was about God filling them. It was about God taking and transforming. It was about God coming into their life that they could testify that somebody was there. That they were alive with God. That He was in residence. The Holy Spirit's work is to connect us so fully with God and to remove self to the place that God can be seen through us. The Holy Spirit's work is to reach the community. I was sent emails concerning 7707 saying, Pastor, what you should preach on is the work of the Holy Spirit, and that we should be listing how many people we're going to bring in because of the work of the Spirit. That we should transform this into witnessing and evangelism. But I believe that when the Holy Spirit pours upon you, you don't need somebody to tell you that. Or to set a goal. I believe the Spirit drives you to do that. I look at Peter's life. Peter so easily made bold proclamations of what he was going to do. Took a stand for God, but got caught up with himself. Do you know what Jesus did? Jesus called Peter back to serving Him. To say, take up residence. Let Me take up residence in you. I want to talk about the finished work. I told you earlier that I believe revival has started here. I'm not saying that lightly. I'm saying that because of what people, you, have shared with me during this week. I had someone who came and shared with me that they gave up a habit that they'd been holding on to for at least 4 years. And they surrendered it to God. I had a family who came and told me that God had impressed them to lay aside watching television and to spend time, and that they were praying as a family together and seeking God. And that they were praying, husband and wife and children together, seeking God every day for the last 10 days. By the way, there was joy on their faces. They shared. I've had somebody come and tell me that they were looking for how to make this decision in their own life. The rest of the family wasn't following, and they were saying, "Can you help me? I want to know about my commitment and what stand I should take, because I want this so badly. I'm ready to do whatever it takes to make that happen." I believe revival has happened because at our 4th of July party at our house, somebody said, "Can we bring over a tape that talks about the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives and recommitting?" We sat and watched for those who wanted. I believe the Holy Spirit's working because people independently have come and told me that they have made a decision to commit an hour a day to Christ, to find Christ in their life, and God to do what He plans to do in their life. I believe the Holy Spirit is working because if you look around, our church is full. In the middle of summer, 4th of July weekend. Because God's people are being drawn to His Word, to being transformed. But I don't want it to just be God's people. I could tell you revival has begun in this church because it's begun in my life. Because in looking and saying, you know, I want to do what God wants to do, and any strongholds, any area, God, I lay before You. And I can tell you that right now, I'm as close as I've ever been to Jesus. And that's nothing to do with me. It's everything to do with God and His Spirit. And I can step out of the way and let God do what God plans to do. I believe revival has taken place because people are seeking it not just for themselves, but for the church. Because God's reaching out and using their connections to bring people in. That lives are being transformed. That people are finding God for the first time here. But we need it more. We're not content with that start. We want to seek Him. 7707. What an incredible date. Easy tag to remember. Wouldn't it be wonderful to mark this as the time that you rededicated your life fully to God? That you said, "God, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to have revival in my life. There's some things that I don't have right." Some of you can say, "I realize I've been dead, God. Dead inside. Maybe it's from something on the outside. Maybe it's from a hurt in the past. God, I've been holding resentment. I've not been willing to forgive. God, there's contention in my life with others that I'm not willing to resolve." Wouldn't it be special if you could say 7707, you laid that before God and He took it. And He filled you with His Spirit. And He began the work that He promised to do in your life, to see it through to the end when Christ comes. Well, I want to give you that opportunity. Our closing song is the Spirit song. What we'd like to do is, if it's your desire, if you feel like you need to make a recommitment to God, if you say, "Lord, I want to be revived," this is not for everybody. Some of you may already feel like you're living life to its fullest, but if you say, "I need that revival," and you'd like to make a recommitment, you'd like to recommit your life on this day to giving God your full life, then I'd like you to come forward and fill this place. Make this an altar to God where you lay on it your own life. Nobody's going to ask you what it is you're bringing. Only God. Only God and the Holy Spirit can testify what's going on. I'd like to go ahead and sing the Spirit song. And as you do, you can come immediately. You don't have to wait for the second verse or the last verse. Come and speak to God. And let's come and fill this place with those who've committed their lives again to God. Why don't we stand together?
Oh, let the Son of God behold you with His Spirit and His love. Let Him fill your heart and satisfy your
God, sweet Spirit, we thank you for moving in our lives. We need you. We need you to every day supply life for us, that we live in connection with you. God, whatever is broken in our lives, we lay before you and ask you to change. And Lord, we're not just going to pray this. We're ready to follow through. Show us what we need to do to make it right. Show us, Lord, what changes we need to make, what people we need to reconcile with. Lord, what habits we need to lay aside. Show us, Lord, that we could be fully yours. God, we want this latter rain, and we don't want our lives to stand in the way. Thank you, Lord, for loving us, for continuing to promise to be there, for doing that revival inside and doing the work we can't on our own. May we leave this place, as Romans told us, with the testimony from your Spirit that you're abiding in us and that we are your children. We thank you in Christ's precious name. Amen. For those of you who'd like to pray further, you're welcome to stay in these front rows, and the elders will be glad to join you for prayer. We have a fellowship meal across the way, and welcome anybody who'd like to join us for that. This evening at 6 o'clock, we have baptisms for a group of young men who are making their commitment to the Lord. Praise God for that, and welcome.